Last Wednesday we talked about the prayer life of the servant, and today we want to look at the priest work of the servant, and it's the last passage in the first chapter of the book of Mark. We begin to read with verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, Jesus here encounters a leper. And as the account reads in Matthew, says that he was full of leprosy. We're going to refer to that in a little bit later, probably what that term means. But there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, I want us to spend a good part of this time looking at the disease of leprosy, because it's very important that we understand this, and I want us to turn back to Leviticus chapter 13, and we're going to read a passage here, and we'll read several verses in this passage in chapter 13 of Leviticus. First of all, beginning with verse 1 in Leviticus 13, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh arising a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days, and the priest shall look on him the 7th day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more, and the priest shall look on him again the 7th day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin after that he hath been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him. And behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, If the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Now turn over to verse 44 in the same chapter. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head. This is when it's in the scab of the head. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Now you can see by the passage I've read, and I've only read a portion of that which covers the disease, leprosy, because it speaks about how it works in the garments and the other things of that nature. But I want to read enough for you to get the sense and the feel of the urgency of this matter of leprosy and the problem that it posed. Obviously, it is a contagious disease, or there would not have to be so much care taken concerning it. It's contagious. And it is the priest who must make the determination concerning it. As a matter of fact, it was probably the most tedious of all the responsibilities that the priest had. Now think of this. The priest had to look at this man. He had to look at him now, and he had to maybe wait 7 days and look at him again. He could have kept him another 7 days and look at him then. He had to continue to look at him. Notice always it's the leper is brought to the priest. The leper is constantly under the eye, watchful eye of the priest. And it's important because leprosy could ruin the whole congregation. Leprosy could spread and get out of hand and just go amongst the whole people. And you could have that. You could have not only just a plague in a few people, but it could get into the congregation and ruin physically the whole congregation. Now we must understand that leprosy is a type of sin in the Bible. And so we must look at these instructions for ourselves, not so much from the standpoint of the physical aspects, but we must see it from the spiritual aspects, because leprosy is a type of sin. Now, let me say this, and I was a little surprised as I got into this and began to really dig into it, study it. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Christian. Now, I suppose we could say that it is a type of sin, period, and therefore it's a type of sin in the sinner, but that's not the problem, and that's not what the Bible deals with. The Bible deals with leprosy as a Christian disease, as a Christian ailment, as a believer's problem. And as I realized this one thing, it began to open up the whole teaching concerning leprosy in a way that I had never realized before. And so I want to think of it this morning particularly, although we will consider it also as a problem for sinners, but it is particularly a problem in believers, problem in the church. Now, it is a type of sin. It usually is painless in its early stages. You don't think too much about it. Oh, you know, it doesn't hurt that much. It doesn't disable that much. And maybe you even think it's just a scab. It's just a sore. It's just the itch. It's just a problem. It's not something serious. You ever have that kind of problem with some, you know, like it's kind of like these skin cancers, what do they call them? Melanoma, skin cancers, and you see them, and they say, well, it's just a little bump, just a little sore there, nothing to it, and let it go, it'll go away, and it continues that, it'll go away, it'll go there. First thing you know, you begin to say, hey, you know, it's not going away, you have to go, and the doctor, if it's been a long time waiting, he has sometimes to really dig deep to get all of it, because it was more than just a little place on the skin. It was more than just a little scab, a little sore spot. It was cancerous, and so it continued to eat. It was alive. It was active. That's the way cancer is, and that's exactly the way leprosy is. It's a live ingredient in the blood of the victim that revealed itself in different places on the body and at different times. And sometimes it would be in recession, sometimes it would come out again. Very much like our problem with weaknesses in our life, sins in our life, and that's exactly what it represents, those kind of things. So leprosy, think of it as an active ingredient, kind of like cancer, that just keeps eating and keeps eating and keeps eating and keeps eating and keeps eating. Keeps eating away at the individual. Now, it affects every area of the victim's life. It affects them physically because it eventually becomes very painful. And, of course, you've seen pictures of people with leprosy where whole fingers have been eaten away, hands, nubs, holes in their face and head from this awful, terrible disease of leprosy. So it affects their physical life, but it affected them also socially. They were not allowed to be in the congregation. Now get this, they were not allowed to fellowship. It meant separation from God's people. It meant that they had to put a cover upon the upper lip and go about crying. When somebody came close to them, it was their responsibility to cry, unclean, unclean. Can you think of anything more socially repulsive than a leper? Can you think of anything or anyone that you would less likely to want to be around? But it affected the social life. They were outcast from the fellowship. And by the way, that's where the principles of New Testament separation come from, separation from brethren who are walking in a manner that's contrary to the Word of God. They have leprosy, and that's the reason we withdraw from them. They have the disease of sin, the disease of leprosy. It's an active ingredient. Compromise is an active ingredient, and it eats away, and you have to separate from. Listen, you could preach message after message relating the effects and the relationship to leprosy, but also it affected a person spiritually. That is, in their own life, they could not be involved in the communion and in the fellowship with other believers. They had to dwell alone, and therefore they did not get the benefit of the blessings of the Word of God, the benefit of being at the house of God where God met with His people, the benefit of the offerings, the sacrifices that were made at the temple. It affected them spiritually as well. And so we see that it affects every area of life. Now, let's say this, and I want to dwell on this for just a couple of 3 minutes. Leprosy is identified only on the basis of the Word of God. The only way that a priest could tell whether you had leprosy or not was if he followed precisely what the Bible said, what the Word of God said about leprosy. He had to look upon it. Notice, it never talks about him touching it or handling the person. He looks upon it, and God tells him what to look for. We read some of those things. The color, whether the hair is affected, whether it's higher or lower than the skin level. There were those things that said definitely. But if it was a question, now understand this, the priest could take your liberty away from you. Grace does not allow that unless there is leprosy, and then it requires it. You see? Grace does not allow someone to separate you from the believers, from the brethren. Grace requires that we all be accepted in the beloved, except where there is sin, see, in the camp, where there is sin. And that causes separation. And so it was a priest's responsibility to identify. Part of separation is identification. And so the priest had to identify, and he was so careful till if he was not absolutely sure, he waited 7 more days to make his judgment, to give it time to develop, to be sure. You're not quick to run to separate from brethren. You're not quick to run to separate from someone who's not walking as they should. You want to bring them back. You hope and pray that they will come back. But when it becomes clear that they are not going back or not coming back, then you separate. And so the priest, see, had the responsibility for making that judgment. And that was an awesome responsibility, because if he declared you to have leprosy, that meant you had to put this on your lip. You had to go out of the camp. You had to be separated from your family, your loved ones, your home, the communion of the saints. You had to live out there in the desert, in the wilderness, and you had to go about crying, unclean, unclean. What a humiliating, you know, not much. Whenever you really get down to sin, it doesn't leave much room for self-image, does it? For self-aggrandizement. It doesn't leave much room for self. And so the priest had to identify on the basis of what God said was leprosy. If he stuck by the book, he always made the right decision. If he went by appearances, he could be wrong. He saw a scab, or somebody in the camp saw a scab, and they reported you to the priest, and you had to report to the priest. And he comes and he looks at you and he sees this scab and he says, I feel it's leprosy. See, he's made a judgment on feeling. It may be or it may not be. You can't go by your feelings in this matter of faith. You can't go by your feelings in your relationship to who you fellowship with and who you don't fellowship with. There have been many a preacher, I remember particularly what one preacher said whenever somebody pointed out to him the compromise of another preacher. He said, I don't care what he's done, he's my friend, and I'm going to have him in to preach for me. He wasn't very good at identifying leprosy. You see, he was taking his feelings for the way he was going to make his decision. Whereas the priest had to make his decision on the basis, not how he felt about this man. This may be a man he didn't like. Maybe a man who cheated him. Maybe a man who beat him out of things. Maybe a man who didn't tithe. He could have said, I'll take care of you, old buddy. Put you outside the camp. No, his responsibility was to take the word of God and use the word of God as the measuring stick to decide whether or not this fellow should be taken out of fellowship and whether or not he was going to have to be outside the camp. And so he could not go by appearances. He couldn't see a scab and say, yeah, that's it. I've seen enough of it. I've seen enough of my time. That's it. No, he had to take it by the word of God. Oh, what a lesson there is in that. Listen, your salvation must be based upon the Word of God. You can't say, oh, I feel like I'm saved. That won't do it. That won't cut it. You know, you have to know it on the basis of the Word of God. If you cannot take the Word of God and say, I'm saved, if you cannot say on the basis of God's Word, God says that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be saved. God says if I trust Him as my Savior, He has saved me. I have put my faith in Him. I've trusted Him, and I know that He saved me. If you're not based on that, if you're based on, well, I joined the church, I shook the preacher's hand, I went forward and prayed, I was baptized, and all these things, those things mean nothing. See? Well, I mean, they may be something you ought to do or not do, but I'm saying that your salvation can't depend on appearances. Or the priest couldn't go by his own opinion. Or he couldn't go by his own feelings in the matter. He had to go on the basis of the Word of God. And friend, you better be sure you're saved on the basis of the Scripture. And you better make your decisions on the basis of the Scripture. You better decide who you're going to fellowship with and who you're not going to fellowship with on the basis of the Scripture. You better decide who's going to be your friend and who's not going to be your friend on the basis of the Scripture. You better go by the Word of God, not go by opinions, appearances, feelings, and other matters of that nature. This is what people operate on. So much of Christianity operates on emotion. We live on emotion. We think on emotion. We react on emotion. We like people or don't like people on emotion. You know, how they've acted toward us or what they did or what their family did or what I think about them. And all those things. And that's not the way that we identify. Now, leprosy was not curable by human means. Only God could cure. And only God can take care of the sin problem. Now, a leper is declared clean. Now, get this. This is a very interesting thing. A leper is declared clean when he is completely covered with leprosy. That's the most interesting thing. Let's read those two verses again, because you may have lapsed, dozed, or had your mind somewhere else when we read those, verse 12 and 13. If a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider. Now, most times it says he looks. But now he's got something else to do. He has to consider. He has to be very sure about this. And behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. Isn't that interesting? Now, if I just have a leprous spot on my hand, or a leprous spot in my forehead, or someplace else on my body, I am unclean. But if leprosy has covered me from head, arms, legs, body, all the way down, covered my feet, if I am totally and completely covered with leprosy, I am declared to be clean. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? Remember, we said that leprosy is a living, growing thing. And once it has completely enveloped its victim, it dies. See? The point here, of course, is when you see yourself, this man who is in this condition sees himself as his heart really is. You see, every one of us have total leprosy. Every one of us have total leprosy spiritually. We are dead in trespasses and sin, right? That means if we could see ourselves, we would be totally white, that is, with the disease of leprosy. But men do not see their heart. The problem is, and the whole one of the whole purposes of this message and this lesson is that people understand that when they have leprosy, what they're saying is, I have a sinful heart. When the leper was declared to be a leper, he went around crying, unclean, unclean. Now, when it got all over him completely and covered him completely, then he understood, and he, that's the only one who understood, that he was totally unclean. When you understand you're totally unclean, then you're a candidate for salvation. You understand? When you understand how totally unclean you are, you have not only you, I say candidate for salvation, I'm talking about candidate for salvation that we're going to get when we raptured. You see, what growing in grace means is understanding our condition. That's what growing in grace means. The more you grow in grace, the more leprosy you realize you have. When you become perfect, as far as you can be perfect in this world, when you have been perfected, that is mature, and that's the way we use the word, that's the way the Bible uses it, when you have reached maturity as a Christian, it will be when you understand you're totally covered with leprosy. When you can say, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. My heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. When I can say that honestly, then I'm white all over. Leprosy has completely consumed me, which means I totally understand my depravity. And now, therefore, the priest can say, you're free to go. You're clean. Nothing more danger can come from you. But until I have come to that place when I have sin in my life as a Christian, I have leprosy. I have this live ingredient at work. It's eating me. See, spiritually, it's eating my heart. It's eating my character. It's eating my life. It's working on me. It's working on me. And listen, Christian, you get an unbridled tongue. Your tongue wags at both ends, you got leprosy. And you are damaging yourself. You are damaging yourself to the point till you're not fit to fellowship with the people of God. That's exactly what it means. Now, in our time, we don't, for sins of that nature, we don't put people out of the church or things of that nature and so forth. But that's exactly what you are cut off from the blessings of God in the church. You're not getting anything out of the church service. You don't get anything out of the preaching. You don't get anything from the Word of God. You got leprosy. It's eaten. It's causing you not to be in harmony with the work of God and the people of God. You got leprosy. You've got a live, active ingredient in you. It's called sin. And it's eaten. And until you've come to the place till you understand that, and when you do, then you're totally enveloped in it. That's full growth as a Christian. You say, I am totally a leper. How did Paul say it? In me there dwelleth no good thing. Oh, he said, wretched man that I am, who is to deliver me from the body of this death? Leprosy. Paul was white all over. He was completely consumed with leprosy. He understood it from a spiritual standpoint. He understood it. And that's what the seventh chapter of Romans is all about. Read again. Oh, he said, I find a law in my members that works against the law in my mind. With my mind, I say the law of God is good. But I find this law working in my members. I find this thing working. And then he finally comes down to the close of it. See, he reaches the climax. and says, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, then, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's what he's talking about. Now, a leper is declared clean then when he's completely covered with leprosy. The disease has run its course. The person now sees his true heart's condition, that it is totally corrupt. That's a strange paradox, isn't it? But when you understand that you are totally corrupt, you're in the best position you'll ever be in. And you understand the condition of your heart. That's what Isaiah, by the way, partly what Isaiah saw as we were studying our lesson this morning. Now, Luke 5:12 says, concerning where the account of this leper that we read about in Mark 1 is given, it says, this man was full of leprosy. Now, in Mark 1, it just says he was a leper. But in Luke 5:12, it says this man was full of leprosy, which seems to give the implication that he was one of those who had been totally taken over by the disease. See? And so what kind of condition do we see? We find him coming to Christ, beseeching, kneeling before him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, it was the priest who had to declare the person totally clean. It wasn't the leper's place to say, oh, I've got it all over me, I'm clean. Oh, no. The priest had to declare him clean. Christ had to declare him clean in this particular case. And so he comes then. This man, it seems, this leper had really, finally realized his condition. And he comes to Christ in this fashion. Jesus touched him. By the way, that also seems to indicate that he was clean. For Jesus touched him, and priest did not touch an unclean person. Now, you could say, well, that doesn't apply to Christ, and maybe that's right. But in any case, it certainly fits the picture if this man was totally covered. His heart went out to him, and he touched him and made him whole. Now, a leper was cleansed only by the shedding and applying of blood. Now, I don't want to leave this part out of the message because this is the real heart of this thing of leprosy. Turn to chapter 14 of Leviticus, and I want to read just a few verses here. In Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 8, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Now notice, the priest didn't go to him. He was brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. Now, this is how, then, leprosy, whether it's leprosy for the, in the case of the unsaved person who's never trusted Jesus Christ, or leprosy in the Christian, the cleansing is the same. Notice that blood had to be applied. The death of the one bird speaks of Christ's crucifixion. These two birds, by the way, represent one bird, two phases. And they represent the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ. The one bird was killed, and his blood was sprinkled over the other bird. And that other bird, with blood on its wings, sails off free into the field. And so we have here the death of Christ, the shedding of his blood for the remission of sins, and as a result, freedom, which is, of course, the resurrection, Christ rising from the dead. And so we have then here the release of the blood-sprinkled bird, which speaks of the resurrection of Christ. And folks, this is the only way that sin is cleansed, ever has been cleansed, ever will be cleansed, by the precious blood of the Lamb. One bird had to die. The other bird was set free. The one represents the crucifixion of Christ and the fact that he died on the cross for your sins. He bore your sins in his body on the tree. And the other one represents the liberty and freedom that you get, the freedom from sin that comes when we apply the blood. Now, Christian, if you have a problem, maybe you have a problem with temper, maybe you have a problem with the tongue, maybe you have a problem with some other sin in your life, something that you have problems getting along with somebody, you don't like certain people in the church, or you can't get along with certain people in the church, and you've got leprosy. You've got a problem. You've got leprosy. The only thing that will cleanse that is the blood of Christ. But you must recognize and go to the priest. The Lord Jesus is the priest. And you must say, Lord, I confess unto thee my problem, my sin. And the blood has to be applied. Then you go free. See? How you get liberty from it? You go free. You're free then to enjoy all the blessings of God that he has for you. Many Christians are missing out on the blessings of God because they're refusing to come with their sin and have it cleansed in the blood. If you're here today as a young person, a child, an adult, who has not believed on the Lord Jesus, who has not received him as your Savior, then you are in your sin. You are in the bloom, full bloom and blossom of leprosy, and yet you know it not. You know it not. You have to recognize it like this man did. You come to Jesus, you see, he touches, and you're free. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, and as I trust that the Word of God, for the Word is the only thing that can do the work as the Holy Spirit uses it, has spoken to our hearts today. And maybe as we have spoken concerning this, the Holy Spirit has put his finger upon something in your life. Put his finger upon you, you know, and it irritates. Generally, when a person gets upset with somebody preaching the Word, it's the Holy Spirit trying to awaken them, and they fight it. So don't fight it. Let the Holy Spirit speak. Let the Holy Spirit deal. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Because you are the one that loses, you see. Oh, it affects the work of God, certainly. But you are the primary loser when you carry sin in your life. You are a leper. Oh, you may not vocally cry out unclean, but people who are not lepers recognize you're unclean. They know that the things you do, or the things you say, or the things, your problem you have, they know they're not right. And you may not recognize them as being not right, but those who know the Word of God recognize them so, and they can't fellowship with you or like they'd like or like they want to, because they'd like to, but it just, you can't. person's out of fellowship is out of fellowship. A person that's walking with disease of leprosy, uncleansed and unforgiven, however that leprosy may be demonstrated, whatever the sin is, and you need to get it right. You know, the hardest thing in the world to do is say, I'm wrong. That's the most difficult thing to do, is say, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I've sinned. I'm wrong. I mean, deep down, way down, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. But that's what the Lord expects of us. We have to do that. He's not going to change. We have to change. He's not going to change his way of dealing. He's not going to change his word to suit you or to make it easy for you. You have to do it his way. And he's made it possible through the blood. His blood was shed. He loves you, cares for you. He's concerned about you. He wants you to walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, see, as we do that. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning and the instruments play quietly, the altar is open. If you want someone to pray with you, we'll be glad to do that or have someone do that. But if you just like to come with a burden on your heart, or some sin that you feel you need to confess to make right, you slip out and come as the musicians play. We're not going to twist your arm or urge you. The Holy Spirit has to do that work. But if you need to come, you know you need to come. Come. Let the blood of the bird that shed his blood be put upon you in order that the bird of liberty may be yours, that you may be free from this and have the peace and the joy and the blessing. They both represent Christ. It was Christ's blood, it's Christ's resurrection that gives us the freedom. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I've never been saved. I'm not a Christian. I don't know the Lord, but I need to be. And I'd like to get that settled this morning. I'd like to be saved. You just slip out and come. We'll meet you here at the front. Have someone pray with you. Take the Bible and show you how to be sure you're saved. Know you're saved. What about it? We wait as you. Let the Holy Spirit speak in your heart, deal in your life. What about it? Father, we thank you this morning for the word, and we ask that the word would not return void, but you would accomplish that you would desire to accomplish.